We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, ever since Hurricane Ida narrowly missed Houston, experts and officials have been warning Houston that they said, you're not ready for a flood that might come every 15 years. You need to do something. And they tried. They tried to convince people not to build in the flood plain, but people built there anyway. They tried to raise money for new floodgates and seawalls, but they never did get the money together. And now they're suffering the consequences of what some people have said is a 1-in-1,000-year kind of flood and storm. We don't want to hear bad news, especially not if it requires sacrifice. In today's gospel, Jesus told the disciples some bad news, and they didn't really want to hear it. He made the first of three different passion predictions, they've been called, where he told them that leaders would make him suffer and kill him, and then he would be raised. Peter particularly did not want to hear this. And so he scolded Jesus. He took Jesus aside, maybe to protect Jesus' image, and he scolded him. It seems that for Peter, he felt that Jesus didn't understand Jesus' mission right, or that if he did understand it, he didn't have the strength to carry it out, because Jesus had claimed to be the Messiah. Peter believed that. And in Peter's mind, because he reflected the understanding of his society, a Messiah was a conqueror, not someone who died. A Messiah would be, they weren't sure exactly, maybe a political figure, maybe a spiritual leader, maybe even a military leader, but someone that God would put in place to drive out the Romans from Israel. Maybe Peter, you know, had a personal interest in this messiahship too, because he was, after all, Jesus' right-hand man. Last week we heard Jesus call Peter his rock. Peter maybe thought that was his destiny, you know, to be there when Jesus brought in this new temporal kingdom and to be Jesus' right-hand man. Maybe it was his identity to be that kind of a leader, and he was going to strive to make it happen. Well, sadly, Jesus has to use the same words to Peter that he did to Satan when Satan tempted him in the wilderness. In fact, he called Peter Satan. He used the same words, they're translated differently, but in Greek he said to Peter, go away. Go away. Because Peter was tempting Jesus to be the wrong kind of Messiah. Jesus knew that to be a Messiah didn't mean to be a conqueror. It meant to be a self-giving savior. And sadly, Peter, his rock, had become a stumbling block to Jesus' own mission and to the kingdom. I think that we often, like Peter, are confused about what we should strive for in life and what our identity is. Like Peter, we pick up on signals that our society and the people around us tell us, and if something like this is our identity, we find that there are lots of forces that are molding it. Everything from the selfies that are posted on social media to advertisement to TV to what you see in the stores, they're all telling us what we should look like, how we should wear our hair, how our lawns should look, how our cars should look, how our friends should look, how success should look. And we begin to mold our lives to meet those expectations, believing that this is really our true identity. And then we protect it. We don't want to lose it, as Jesus says, we don't want to lose our lives. And so we protect it, never realizing that as we protect this thing we think is our identity, we never find out who we really are. It seems like it often happens that tragedy begins to peel away, you know, the outer image that we have of ourselves. It can be the tragedy of losing someone you love, a spouse, even a child, or losing your job, or losing everything, like people in Houston are discovering, or losing your independence because you're getting older or you're getting ill. I have a friend who lost her husband and said how hard and how long it took her to be comfortable once again being single. And her counselor said, you know, you'll never be the same person you were before your husband died. I believe that as we experience these tragedies, that God is not happy that we are. They are not brought on by God. And as we go through them, God is with us, giving us something to hang on to when everything else is moving, when even our identities seem in flux, that God is there giving us something to hang on to. And as our outer appearance, our self-made identity becomes whittled away through tragedy and experiences, we discover something. We discover that our true identity has been there all the time. But it wasn't what we had created and molded ourselves to be. It was what God gave us. That God created us and we have innate value. And then Jesus recreated us and made us part of the kingdom of God. And it is not, our identity is not what we have shaped and worked so hard on. Our true identity is what God has given us. And that knowledge that our true identity is safe, and we don't have to make it safe, gives us a sense of freedom. Maybe freedom to take a second look at deeply held opinions and values that, you know, we said were part of our identity and were rocks in our lives. Maybe some of you read this story in the newspaper a few days ago about a man named Foster Fries or Freeze. He's a GOP mega donor. He's a multimillionaire. But he believes that your political views should not be a stumbling block to your ability to care for people. So he has instituted his own campaign called A Return to Civility. And as his own part in that campaign, he flew in to St. Louis and arranged to meet Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal, and you know her as a very controversial figure right now. They began their meeting in church. He's a Christian, she's a Christian. They went to church together in Ferguson, and then they went out for lunch, where they talked and listened and learned from each other. And when it was over, they both professed to feel the other was a friend. They looked up to the other person. They valued the other person. They found a common bond in their belief in forgiveness, in their Christianity. And even though he is a white Republican and she is a black Democrat and their political views will probably never meet, they call each other friend. And they can do that because they know their true identity is not who they are to the outside of the world, but their identity as children of God. Knowing that we have this freedom and this identity that will not ever be taken away from us maybe gives us a chance to avoid doing what Peter did and not letting our political views, our values, become a stumbling block in the way of loving other people. It is not easy to follow Jesus, and the gospel reminds us of that again and again. It's not easy to re-examine deeply held values that we thought were a part of our identity. It's not easy to go against popular opinion. It's not easy to swallow our pride. It's not easy to let others put others before ourselves. But Jesus makes this promise. He says, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And we do find it. As we feel the approval of God, as we feel the love of God for the things we do that are part of God's kingdom. You know, Jesus asked a question in this gospel. He said, what will you give in return for your life? We can't buy our lives, but Jesus did. He gave his life that we might have a life that we understand as a life where he loves us, he forgives us, and he gives us power to work with him and create the real kingdom of God. Amen.